Bible reads in the first chapter of St. Luke, beginning at verse 18. Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." The angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. The 62nd through the 64th verses. And he made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Based on those verses, we'd like to speak from a thought of subject this morning, the consequences of unbelief. The consequences of unbelief. God is up to something. Always up to something. One thing about God, you don't know what God got in mind. You just have to get ready and be ready. Whenever the God say move, then you ought to be willing to move. One thing about it, there's going to come a time when you want to move and can't move. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. I'm just about that close to that right now. But when the praises were going up, I just couldn't get my dance in. But I'm going to tell the devil he's a lie this morning. Not saying that it's going to still come, but I am going to do what the Lord God sent me here to do. I thank God for being here this morning. And as I listened to all the things that have been said and done, and I heard my good friend and sister Michelle, as she shared with us this morning, and I too was going back for when William sang that last song, "Do You Know Him?" And that took me back to the Hoover sisters, because that song was the first song that the Spirit of the Lord jumped all over me one day over in Salisbury. And I know what in the world happened to me. I was standing up and clapping and singing, trying to help them sing. The next thing I know, I was loose. Didn't last long. Zan and them went running to go get the rest of them. John was in there shouting. Time they got back, I had to sit down. But I thank God that since that day, that spirit has still been down on the inside. Don't come all the time, but I'm so glad that every now and then I still feel the power of God's spirit in that way. You know, all of us got a different way of praise and worship, and all of us got a different way of expressing how we relate to our relationship with God. And so I don't get caught up with thinking that because you don't shout, you don't have it. I don't get up thinking that because tears are not coming down your face that you're not feeling anything, because everybody do things in a different manner. But if you are one to run, if you are one to cry, if you are one to shout, don't be ashamed of your praise. And one thing you got to learn is don't let nobody hinder your praise. Doesn't matter who's in here this morning. God is here, and God is the one that is blessing you. So when you've been blessed by the best, you just let go and let God. I found out that when I start talking about God, I forget about my aches and pains. And I begin to let God have his mighty way. So I'm thankful to God for allowing us another opportunity to come to share with our family and with our friends, and just to lift up the name of Jesus on this third Sunday morning, this Sunday before we celebrate Christmas Day. Christmas Day supposedly being the day of the birth of Jesus the Christ. And so we are here to celebrate. And throughout this month, as we've been coming and trying to share the word of God, we've been sort of staying with the holiday season and with the birth of Christ and all of the announcements that the angels brought to the people of God. And so today is no different. We are here to share with you this morning because, as we know it, Jesus coming next week. But we want to tell you about somebody this morning that God blessed to come to be the forerunner and to sort of get things in order. You see, one thing you got to understand is in order to build on something, you got to lay a foundation. And so that's why I can relate to you, Sister Michelle, because what I thought about when the Lord blessed me to be in this place, it wasn't a whole lot of things to be changed because Dr. Betts and the people of God had already placed a solid foundation. So all we had to do was just build on what was already here. Sometimes when you try to make too many changes, you take people out of their comfort zone. And when they are confused and don't know what you're doing, then they're not going to give their best. But when you are comfortable in your praise, in your service, in your studies, and in the things that you're trying to do for the Lord, I believe that you do a whole lot better service toward the Lord. And one thing we have to understand, you're not here to please me or nobody else. You are here to glorify God. You are here to tell God, Lord, I just want to thank you for another day's journey. It's been said that I could have been dead and gone, but I have been to so many funerals that I realize that that is a reality. And so while we are here, while the blood is yet still running warm in our veins, we are thankful to be in the house of God one more time. Today, as we talk to you about the consequences of unbelief. It's a sad day if you are in a place now in life, unless you're a very young child, that you don't believe in the power of God. Because once that seed has been implanted into your mind and into your heart, you ought to let that seed nourish and you ought to feed that seed so that it'll grow. And there ought to be a time that you come to a place where, you know, we say that sometimes when you're young in Christ and you're still on milk, some of you ought to get off of that milk and get some bread. It's time to be able to eat some solid food, and that solid food will give you more strength. Yeah, you know, milk is all right in its own way, but it won't give you the same strength that a loaf of bread will. It won't hold you like the bread will. And so the bread of life that I come to share with you this morning, it will feed you whenever you get hungry. You don't even have to be hungry and it'll feed you. You don't have to have an appetite and it'll feed you. You may have indigestion, but you can still digest the word of God. And so I'm so thankful that God is the kind of God that he is. And it's by his grace and his mercy that he has allowed us to come and share the love of Jesus as we give him thanksgiving and praises for the things that he has done. God is such a good God, and we can always depend on him because he loved us so much that, as we read in our responsive reading, he allowed his only son to die so that we might have life. He came in the flesh and died for all of our sins. Let us, if you will, be mindful and remember that when we celebrate Christmas, we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. So do know that we can't wrap him up in a box. You can't put him in a gift bag. You don't have to worry about dressing him up. He was already dressed up. And, you know, I'm just telling or reminding you a story that's been told many, many years. It has not changed. It will not change. And even after I'm dead and gone, if the world is still in existence, then somebody will still be telling this same old story. And so the good thing is knowing that God is God all the time, and he is worthy of all of our praises. As we began to enjoy what we call this holiday, and we exchange our gifts and we eat our food, but don't forget that it's not your day, it's his day. All of us, we love that day that we consider to be our birthday, and we celebrate our birthdays in our own way. But when we acknowledge this time of the year as being Jesus's birthday, then we got to realize that there's a time difference in the calendar of days. And so the 25th of December may not be the actual day, but I believe that it was this season or a time of the year. So here we are, some 2,000 years later, still celebrating and telling everybody about the story of a virgin girl named Mary, how she became the mother of our Savior. We should be thankful at all times and understand that we should be recognized and honored because we glorify the Lord not only this day or this particular time of the year, but every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. I don't believe that there's a month in the year that we don't say or talk about Jesus. In some life, that there's not a day that passes that somebody don't say the name Jesus. That there's not a day that you walk out, if you're able to see, that you don't see the results of what God has done for us and what he is doing to us this morning. And so we are just so thankful that God has blessed us once again to come and to give him praise. I'm glad this morning to have a personal relationship with the Lord that I can say that Jesus is mine. You got to claim ownership of your God. And if you claim him to be your God, then can't nobody separate you from the love of your God. One thing I love about Jesus is that he knows your goings and your comings, your ins and your outs. He knows about your uprising and your downs. He knows everywhere you're being, everywhere you're trying to go. And he knows when you're going to get there, what you're going to do after you get there. And then he knows whether you're going to return home or not. What kind of God is that that knows everything there is to know about you? God is that one that don't have to get in an MRI machine, but he can still look at the inside of your body, look all in your mind. Ain't anybody ever so glad that you don't look like what you're going through? A whole lot of us in here, we got aches and pains, and we're going through this struggle or that struggle, but in the midst of it all, God is still worthy to be praised. I'm glad to know that I got a relationship with God, and that's one thing that we try to convey to the people of God. Get your own relationship with him. Don't depend on what nobody else is saying. If you don't believe what I'm saying, all you got to do is open up the Bible. The same old story that I'm telling, you don't have to have Reverend on your name. You don't have to be nobody's minister. But somebody in here told somebody about that baby Jesus, and all you had to do is know the story. Anybody know the story this morning? God is alive and he lives inside of us. Now, there's some folk that say, I don't like to go to that church because that's a dead church. Well, you ought to get your dead self full of some life and bring some life to the dead church. Your church don't have to be dead because everybody else is dead. That church sitting beside you might be dead, but it ought not hinder you from letting your praise go through. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Today we want to share another part of this great story about a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. One whose birth is a miracle as well, and one that is the forerunner of Jesus the Christ. And as we share this message, that there should be a time that we're going to realize that after he come, then another, he said, is coming after me, and he's going to be mightier than me. He's going to be greater than I am. And so I'm just here to make preparations. I'm here to get the people's mind in order. I'm here to let them know that they need to come up out the wilderness, and they need to let go of some of their foolishness and begin to trust in the power of God. I thank God because the Bible declared that this particular man is going to be called John the Baptist. He would be great in the sight of the Lord. John would be born to parents that was childless, and his birth would come at a time of their old age. Don't never give up on God. God is a miracle worker, and God can do what nobody else can do. As we know and as we see by faith, there is nothing that God cannot do, especially when it's part of his divine plan. When God has a purpose for your life, I don't care how much you run, how much you try to get away from it, you can't get away from what God wants you to do. Anybody ever had some things going on and God began to speak to you in that small, still voice and you were kind of stiff-necked or hard-headed and you wouldn't hear him the first time? But God wouldn't let it go. You couldn't sleep at night. You woke up in the morning and it was already on your mind already again. And God has a way of letting you know that I'm not going to let it go until you hear what I got to say. I'm not going to let it go until you open up your heart and allow me to come in. So I thank God that God is the God that knows and does everything that needs to be done. throughout the history of the birth of children has been a sign of the blessings of God. In the Old Testament times, it was a show of favor to have an heir to continue the bloodline. And if we need to be assisted and to take care of when we get old in our golden years, it was good to have those heirs that would be around to come back and do for you what you done for them when they were babies. It was a blessing to have a child. And if you were one that were not able to bear, then you felt like that you were missing something. You felt like you was not able to please God. So here we have this couple that we read in our text this morning by the name of Zacharias, the priest, and Elizabeth. They had prayed to God for a child for many years. And out of all their praying and out of all the time that has transpired, they realized that we still don't have a child. Time had proceeded on and they had gotten older in their days. And so after so long, they began to believe that that's not going to happen for me. Everybody cannot bear children. But isn't it good that somebody can? Because if somebody didn't bear you, you wouldn't be here this morning. You ought to thank God a second time for your mama, because mama allowed you to come into this world. That there's a whole lot of babies that don't make it on the outside of the womb. But isn't it good to know that God is a mighty good God? And God, even the young women, God blessed them with a mindset to let God have his way. We ought to learn that sometime when we pray to God for something, that if he don't come when we want him, that don't mean that he's not going to come. And sometime when everybody else seem to make you believe that it's not going to happen, sometimes God's no may be just wait for a while. See, there's a time when you got to wait until the Lord God say so. And I found out that when God gets ready, he going to do what needs to be done. God will give us even the desires of our hearts. But what we have to do is learn how to believe. Then we have to be very careful what we ask for, because when you ask God for something, you just might get it. A lot of us talking about, I want to do this and I want to do that. And God allow you to elevate and to be in those positions. And then you began to say, Lord, I wish I would have never opened my mouth. Anybody in here ever asked God for something and then almost wanted to say, Lord, you can take that back. That ain't what I thought it was. But how many of you know you can't do that with your children? I don't care how they act, how they come out, they still yours. And because they are yours, you find that you're going to love them. And I'm so glad that God put love in our hearts, because if God can love us in all of our mess, then that's why we are able to love our children when they don't do the right thing, even though you've nurtured them, even though you taught them right from wrong. And we realize that you can't be with them 24/7. So there are times when they do their own thing, and what their thing might not be what you have trained or taught them to do. But whether they do the right or whether they do wrong, there's something about the love that you have down on the inside. You're able sometimes to sort of look over some things. Now, that don't mean that you don't be concerned. Because when you're looking over things, that's when you go to God in prayer. When you look and you realize, especially after they get grown and you don't have no control, then you got to pray to God, lead and touch their mind. Let them know what I'm trying to teach them. And, you know, it brings us back to the thing. You know how the old folk used to say, I've already crossed that bridge you got to go over. And you thought that was just mere words. You thought they were being mean. But God let you live long enough to realize that every day is not a sunny day. Trouble will come in your life. You are not exempt from having trials and tribulations because you are a child of the King. You are not exempt from trouble just because you say, I am a believer. You are not exempt because you say, I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes and my offering, and I try to treat everybody right. But how many of you know you still have aches and pains? How many of you know that when you're in that position, that's when the enemy really tries to attack you? The enemy will try to break you down and make you lose your focus, but you got to keep your eyes on the prize. I don't know about you, but I got heaven on my mind, but I realize that I'm not homesick quite yet. But if the Lord God said, come, I don't have no other opportunity other than to go on and be with the Lord our God. But if the Lord never does anything else for me, I'm so glad that I can say that he's already done enough. He showed me that he's a mighty God. He showed me that he's a healer. He showed me that he's a keeper. He showed me that he is a deliverer. Am I talking to anybody in here? Have you ever been down on your bed of affliction? And the doctor may have shook his head one way, but the power of a loving God say, I got the last say. I'll pick you up from your bed of affliction. I'll give you the strength back into your body. I'll change your mindset and let you know that I am God. And whatever I want to do, I can do it because I'm God. God can open up his mouth and say something, and I guarantee you whatever he says, it is going to come to pass. God is a mighty good God. So when you ask God for something, don't forget that the word declares where much is given, much is required. Be careful what you ask the Lord for. Sometimes you say, Lord, I just need a little more grace. Well, when God gives you more grace, then you ought to give grace towards somebody else. You ought to be able to understand that it's not all about you. Prayer is one of those things that we have to exercise our faith. Too much doubt can leave you without. If you doubt the power of God, if you doubt because, you know, sometimes we talk faith, but we don't live faith. Now, we know the word says, I walk by faith and not by sight. So if you're going to walk by faith, then when you don't understand what you're going through, when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, then you still got to keep on walking. Somebody got to walk in the darkness knowing that some way or another, I'm going to see his marvelous light. And I'm so glad to know this morning that can't nobody hinder you from getting what God has for you. Somebody said it like this, what God has for me, it is for me. And I can't be jealous because he didn't give me the gift to play like Daryl. But I thank God for a friend like Daryl. I may not be able to play, but I can call on somebody that is able to do anything that needs to be done for the cause of Christ. I know this morning that many of us have faith in the power of God. And I'm also sure that many of us don't have that same kind of faith. But when we think that things are going to happen, we got to know that it's not in our own power to do, but we got to know that without God, we can't please him without the faith that we have in him. Without God, we would be most miserable and we would continue to be lost. In order to please God, we got to have faith in him. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to believe in more than the mighty dollar. You got to believe in more than mama and daddy. You got to believe in more than the preacher or your prayer partner. Now, it is sometimes we connect up with somebody. We began to talk about some things and we began to say, well, we're going to pray about these things. And as you pray, it don't need to pray if you're not going to believe. If you're going to continue to worry about it, then stop talking to God about it. One thing I found out that once you give it to the Lord, God will work it out. Once you ask the Lord to come in and see about the situation, God will do what nobody else can do. In our text this morning, St. Luke is concerning Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we see here in the Word of God, it said that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless people. So these were holy people. These were people that loved God. These were people that God could entrust with any child or with anything. And so we look here, it says that at that particular time, they had no child. Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years, meaning that they had become old. Came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his court. So the priest had to realize that I got to do my duty when the Lord God calls on me. And when the lot falls on me that it's my time to go in and do the thing that God would have me to do, then I got to put other things aside. Sometimes we fail to realize that as important as family is, when God wants you to do something, you need to do what God said do. God don't take care of the family. And God is going to be right there every step of the way. So according to the custom of the priest's office, the lot was to burn incense. And when he went into the temple of the Lord, Zacharias being a priest, Zacharias having the lot fall on him that at this particular time, he was the one to go in the temple and to light and burn incense for the people of God. And to let the Lord God know that the people were remorseful and sorry for the wrongs that they have done. Now, one thing, as you look and paint this picture in your mind, Zacharias is in the temple burning incense, and all the people of God are on the outside praying to God. It's good to have somebody to pray for you, but it's even better when you got sense enough to pray for yourself. Don't depend on somebody else to do all the praying. You got to pray for yourself. And then whether you pray or they pray, it's nothing but mere words if you're not going to believe. You got to believe that what you ask the Lord to do, that God will, can do whatever needs to be done. The Bible declared that while they were out there praying and Zacharias was in the temple, there appeared unto him an angel. The angel standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias saw him. He was troubled and fear came upon him. Think about it. You're in a temple all by yourself, talking to your God, burning incense. And all of a sudden, a vision of an individual appears to you on your right side. Now, any of us, you know, we already realize and have read that Zacharias is a righteous man. He's a man that is blameless. But just because you love God, that don't mean that you're not scared of some things. Anybody in here that got so much going on in your life, you're not afraid of nobody or nothing? You know, a lot of us talk that noise, but when truth be told, there are times when you get backed up against the wall, you're going to call on somebody. The first thing that you ought to call on, the first one you ought to call on is the power of a loving God. Bible says that he was troubled and fear fell upon him. The angel looked and realized that he was afraid. So he says, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Zacharias is hearing these things. Now, one thing comes to mind. The angel says that, "Zacharias, I've heard your prayer." But now, you got to understand that at this point, Zacharias had given up on having kids. So he's not still in there praying to have a child. But what he realizes is this angel knew him a long time ago. The angel was aware that this man was in there praying for a child. So one thing you got to understand is ever since you have been born, every thought that you've had, everything that you've done has been written in the book of life. And so God knows even your prayers, things that you've asked for, and the things that some things you needed, some things you didn't need. So now here we have a man of God. Bible declares many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord because of this child. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Those that have been disobedient, the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are you ready for Jesus? That might be a strange question in this day and time. But I found out that there are a lot of folk that don't have anything to do with Jesus. There are some folk that realize that I heard about him, but I don't know and I don't want a part of what that's all about. But I'm so glad to know this morning that God is a mighty good God. I know that God would do what nobody else can do. I found out that the boy child would be a blessing to all mankind. He would be followed by the will of God and the father of the children of Israel. He would now be pleased and excited as he was about to share the good news. He had received from the angel, and he should have said a messenger from God have came, and he had doubt in his mind. Realize that when we look here in the word of God, it says, Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of a mighty God. I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. I came to tell you what the Lord God told me to say. And I want you to know that when the Lord God tells you something, you can't have doubt in your mind. When you got doubt in your mind, that's just like saying that you don't believe. And I want to let you know that there are some consequences when you don't believe. Things are going to happen when you don't believe. Things are not going to fall in place when you don't believe. But if you believe in the power of God, you got to know that God will be right there by your side. For the Bible said, behold, there shall be a time in your life because you would not believe in what I've told you. Now you're not going to be able to speak, not until the day that these things shall be performed. I want to let you know this morning that when God said that something is going to happen, you better believe that God will do what nobody else can do. Are there any believers in the house this morning that know that God is right there by your side? When the Lord God said, I will do this, that, or the other, all you got to do is trust and believe. I just stopped by to let you know this morning that there was a man by the name of Zacharias that found out that he had to do what the Lord God said do. A man that loved God but had doubt in his mind. Realized that I've got to suffer the consequences for not trusting the power of a loving God. Is there anybody in the house that ever had God to give them a message? And they said, Lord, I don't know if that's for me. But I'm so glad this morning that I serve a mighty God. I'm so glad this morning that the Bible declared when Zacharias came out, he could not open his mouth and speak. He had done things in the wrong way. See, when you don't believe in the word of God, it's just like telling God you're telling me a lie. But I'm so glad this morning that I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that when he tells you something, you can count on it and take it to the bank. When God said, I'll heal your body, he may not come when you want him, but God will be right there on time. Now somebody say, it don't take all of that, but you got to trust God with everything that you got. If you got a relationship with your God, it doesn't matter what your neighbor say about it. Doesn't matter who talks about you, but you ought to stand on the power of belief. You ought to stand for the power of a loving God. I'm so glad that Zechariah got the idea. He stayed up in the temple until the Lord got ready. And when the Lord got ready, he allowed Zechariah to come out. Now the people of God realize he'd been up there for a mighty long time. And I wonder what happened to this man. He's not able to speak now. But when he went inside the temple, I'm sure he told him, I'll be back after a while. But I want to let you know, you might open up your mouth right now, but after a while, you might not be able to say a word. So I'm so glad that while I got an opportunity, while I can open up my mouth and a sound come out, I just stopped by the Foul Chapel Baptist Church to tell somebody in the name of Jesus that Jesus will make a way out of no way. And I'm so glad that I serve a mighty God, a God that is able to take an old man and an old woman to implant and make this woman conceive. I'm so glad that God understands that they were confused in their mind. I've been praying for a child a long time, and I didn't get it in my young days, but I'm so glad that God has answered my prayer. Now Elizabeth began to think about this. She said, I'm so glad that I'm going to have a child. But the Bible declares that after Zacharias came down and he went to his house, that Elizabeth hid herself for over 5 months. She realized that I don't know whether she was ashamed. I don't know whether she was still confused, but she couldn't change the fact that she was going to have a baby. And when she had a baby, he wasn't going to be Zach Jr. He wasn't going to be little Zach, but he had to be named John. See, there's always somebody that's going to tell you what to name your child. But I'm so glad Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't have to go through a list of names. Didn't have to worry about what to call the child. For the angel said, you're going to bear a son, and his name shall be called John. Now, when the people of God found out that she had the baby, everybody had joy in their heart. You know how it is when a new baby is born? Everybody want to run and see. Everybody want to see who he look like, who he going to act like. But I want to tell you, as they looked in there at John, he might have looked like Zacharias, but his name wasn't going to be Zach. I'm so glad that they believed in the power of God. For the word of God tells us that when he began to trust the power of God, that he went in into her and called out the name and said, I want to know what you're going to name the baby. Are you going to name him Zacharias after the name of his father? But the mother said in answer, not so. He shall be called John. They began to think about this. What in the world this woman talking about? Zacharias, that's the daddy. He ought to be named Zacharias. And so they went to Zacharias, realizing that he could not talk. But they beckoned unto him. Wasn't nothing wrong with his hearing. He just could not talk. So if I use my imagination, I can see how some of us busybodies work. Going in and try to mess with Zach. Say, oh, Zach, what in the world is Elizabeth doing? She says she's going to name the baby John. I want to know, why is his name going to be John? Your name is Zacharias. You are a good man, and I think that he ought to be named after you. But Zacharias beckoned unto them, bring me something to write with. I can't tell you what's on my mind right now, but I got to let you know. I got to let you know. When they made the signs unto the father, and he asked for the writing table, he wrote down and said, his name will be John. And they began to look at one another. Said, they must have this thing on one accord. His mouth was open immediately, and his tongue began to get loose, and he began to open up his mouth. Can you think about how Zach felt? For 9 long months, I hadn't been able to say a word because I had unbelief. But I'm so glad that because I was obedient, I named the child what God said name him. Now I can open up my mouth. I can hear old Zach saying now, Lord, I want to thank you for giving me a son in my old age. Lord, I want to thank you for being my God, for making a way out of no way. The Bible declared that Zacharias, when his tongue got loose, began to praise the Lord our God. So I want to know in the house this morning, where are the believers at? Where are the ones that have no doubt? Where are the ones that know the Lord will make a way? Where are the ones when the Lord give you your blessing, you don't mind giving the Lord praise? I once was down and out, but the Lord picked me back up, and I want to tell my God, thank you. I was sick on the bed of affliction, but God touched my feeble body. So I want to come back to the house of God. Tell my God, thank you. Anybody want to give God praise? Anybody want to give him glory? Somebody ought to say, thank you for all of my children. Lord, I want to thank you for everything that you've done in my life. I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all of my heart. And I just stopped by to let you know that there are consequences in unbelief. When you don't believe in the power of God, I believe that God is a healer. I believe that he's a keeper. And I know that he is a way maker. you will be surprised of the things that you have to go through on this side of life. But if you trust the power of God, God will do what no one else can do. As we have followed the same old story, the forerunner, he has been born. The glory of the Lord has come to pass. God is a miracle worker, and he worked a miracle in the lives of Zacharias and Elizabeth. That individual that's sitting beside you is a miracle. The one in front of you is a miracle. The one behind you is a miracle. We are nothing but blessings of an almighty God. And I thank God that if we learn to be obedient, trust his power. And then, you know, when we realize that John the Baptist, he had a job to do as well. For he had to go out and cry in the wilderness. Ask the people to repent from their sins. We're still in that same thing today. Repent. Be baptized. Trust the power of God. And walk with true faith. Believing that what God says, he will do. If God said it, I believe it. And if you don't believe it, then you might fall into some unpredictable consequences that you might not be ready for. But I'm here as a witness. I'm here this morning as a servant to let you know that even when you don't feel at your best, God can still step in and do what needs to be done. I'm so glad that there are believers in the house. If you are one this morning that don't believe, don't take a chance, but trust the power and the love of God. God is able this morning, and the Lord God will do what no one else can do.